Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. Good to see all of you here. And I'm excited, man. Jesus is doing a wonderful thing in the midst of us. God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise God. How was everyone's week? It's good. Getting things done, making things happen, yes. By the grace of God, awesome. Easter was wonderful, wasn't it?
Yes.
The peace of God, the grace of God that was in the house was just so awesome. And as I was, preparing for this week, the Holy Spirit kept speaking something into my spirit, and he's directing my heart a certain way. And we're going to talk about restful increase. I heard those two words in my spirit over and over again. I thought I was going to continue Jesus pouring out his grace on you. It's the same concept, but he told me to use that title. But I'm going to use the same stories that I was going to use in part two. You know, but I can see the direction he wants us to go. So we're going to go that way. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. Amen. And we follow him. And that's one of the things that I want to bring out today, is that you are the sheep of the Lord. And he wants you, and there's two major things that he wants for you. The two major things he wants for you, it's in the title. He wants you to have rest, and he wants you to have increase. And one of the things the Holy Spirit has showed me for some years now, and I entered into some understanding and some leadership of the Holy Spirit in this area, but I'm endeavoring to enter into it more and to stay with it. So one of the things the Lord has showed me in the body of Christ is that his people are not at rest. Now, there's some people who have entered to the rest, but a lot of people that have not entered into his rest. And then he showed me myself, he showed me our church, and there's some areas that we're not in rest at. And we're not really entering in to all the fullness that he has for us as his sheep. Many, many years ago, when God started talking to me about his love, some of you may remember this. This is a long time ago. I preached a kind of weird message that I never preached before, and it was called Relax, God Loves You. Does anybody remember that? It was a long time ago. You may not remember it. But I remember that was one of the beginning times God started dealing with me about rest. And I've gone like in and out of it, but the Lord has really, over the last few years, really trying to talk to me about it, but now again, directing my heart in that direction. He wants you to have rest, and he wants you to have increase. Go with me to John chapter 6. We're going to begin with verse 1. Very powerful passage. And we're just going to let the Holy Spirit guide us. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him. Now, do you know why you take a test? To see what you know? Another reason?
See if you're ready to move on.
To see if you're ready to move on. That's good. To see what you know and to see if you're ready to move on. Now, who is the test for? For you or the teacher? It's for you. Many times children are in school thinking the test is for the teacher. No, the purpose of test is for you, so that you can know as a student whether you are acing this class or not, whether you are retaining the knowledge, and whether you're ready to move on. And so Jesus was testing Philip not for himself. He didn't know what was in Philip. He was testing Philip so Philip could see himself, so Philip could see his limited thinking. For he himself knew what he would do. I'm going to ask you the question because I don't know what I'm doing. I know what I'm going to do. Watch this. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Again, another disciple who had limited thinking. Then Jesus said, and Jesus didn't even acknowledge it. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. What does he say? Make the people sit down. What is sitting? It's rest. Sitting is a sign of rest. Don't miss that part for the miracle of the multiplication of the fish and the loaves. No. Let's focus on the rest part. He said, make them sit down. This is a picture of the fact that sheep are to be sitting. Sheep are to be resting. And they are to be provided for. Do you realize sheep don't provide for themselves? They are to be provided for. And so your job as the sheep of the Lord is to sit down and let him provide for you. Now, as New Yorkers, Northeasterners, we're into the hustle and bustle. We live in New York City. I'm trying to get this bread. I'm trying to get this bag. I'm trying to make this happen. And I understand that concept. I like it myself. But honestly, it's really a form of self-preoccupation. And the Bible says the world will be like that. Jesus said to his own disciples, remember, he's talking to grown men. He's not talking to little kids. He's talking to grown men. And he said, the world runs after money. The Gentile world, that's what they seek after. That's not what I want you to do. You seek the Father. You seek the Lord. You seek me. And then he says, this is in Luke, I believe it's 12 or 11, I think. He says, for it's your Father's good pleasure, little children, to give you the kingdom. He called grown men little children because he wanted them to see themselves not as these strong Hebrew men who knew how to fish, knew how to make money. No, I want you to see yourself as sheep and little kids in my presence. Amen. You are sheep in the presence of the Lord. So he said, make them sit down. Now, do you know who he's talking to in this passage? Who's he talking to? The multitudes. No, he's talking to the disciples, yes, about the multitudes, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you know who these multitudes are that he's making sit down? Do you know? At the end of it, how many people did he feed? 5,000 what? 5,000 what? Men. So he's talking to the men to tell the men, sit down. Very significant. Because in our society, men have put their identity in their work. Men don't want to sit down. Women and kids sit down. No, you sit down first. And the women and children will follow. In other words, men have to enter into rest first, and then the rest of the culture will enter into rest. People look at the mom to be in rest. No, Jesus said, make the men sit down. So men have to see themselves as sheep first, and then the wives and the children will follow. Come on, somebody. Oh, Lord. Now there was much grass in the place. There's no insignificance in the scriptures. Why would the Bible talk about the grass in the place? Because it was trying to show you Jesus didn't have these people sitting down on dirt roads with rocks. Who wants to sit on dirt roads with rocks and eat? Nobody. The Bible is saying that Jesus was putting them in a place of comfort. You know how the world says, leave your comfort zone. And I get the concept of it. Learn how to, you know, try things. But the reality is Jesus doesn't want you to leave your comfort zone. He wants you to be in comfort. Now, I know that's a little different from what you're hearing sometimes in these gospel streets. But Jesus wants you to be in comfort. He wants you to be relaxed. He wants you to be okay because you're his sheep. Do you see sheep sitting in dirt roads with rocks? Anybody see any picture of that? What do you always see on TV or in pictures with sheep? They're in pastures and meadows with green grass, not brown grass. Hello, somebody. Hello, Oklahoma. Because it's so brown out there. Green grass. What does this remind you of? As soon as I read it, it reminded me of Psalm 23. Got it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me, he what? He makes me, make them sit down. He makes me to what? Lie down in what? Green pastures. That's rest. The first thing David said in the psalm is that he's my provider and he's given me rest. Now, let me tell you something. Satan will fight you on this. He will fight you on this. He will fight you on this. And you have to resist him. He'll give you all kind of thoughts. He'll use the world. He'll use people and say, nah, you got to do it this way. Nah, you got to do it that way. And make you anxious and make you go after it. And there's nothing wrong with going after, you know what I mean? But that fleshly going after it. One day, some time ago, the Lord said to me, don't let the devil take you out of your place of rest. I had forgotten the Lord said that to me, but as I was meditating, I said, oh, I remember the Lord said it to me. Don't let the devil take you out of your place of rest. And that's what he does, because he's not at rest. And he doesn't want the body of Christ to be at rest. He doesn't want you to see yourself as sheep. He wants you to see yourself as somebody, you got to do it on your own. You got to make it on your own. And especially if you come from a broken family where the father was not there or the father wasn't good, he's going to point that to you and say, yeah, you see, you got to make it, you got to do it yourself. And not let you see that I'm the sheep of the Lord. I'm here to be in a place of what? Rest. All right. So the men, so the who? So who? Starts with the men. Sat down. In number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down. See, the increase came, the miracle came after they sat down while they were at rest. What if they said, Jesus, I ain't sitting down. You think there will be a miracle? Absolutely not. After they sat down, then he gave thanks. Then the miracle was activated. Watch this. And the disciples, and distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. I love that statement. As much as they wanted. Jesus is your good shepherd, and he is here to give you as much as you want. As I was sitting here praying, the Lord brought you to my heart while we were praying and said to tell you, you don't have to build your ministry on your own. He is the shepherd. He's the one who called you. He's the one who anointed you. And he is the one who gave you the ministry that you got. So you don't have to try to make it on your own. Sit down. Ask him, what should I do? And follow his instructions. Don't look at this one. Don't look at that one. Because you may be surprised. He may take you to do something very different. He has you here in Winners Church. It's part of your ministry. But whatever else he has you to do outside of it, sit down and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And don't move until he tells you. Oh, I ain't hearing nothing. I'm going to try something on my own. That ain't the way. Sit down. Mary has chosen that better part. Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. Sit down like Mary. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm going to sit down. When we was growing up, they would say, sit your butt down. Especially when you're running around and stuff. Or get out the kitchen. The kids are curious. What you cooking? What you doing? Get out the kitchen. Go sit down somewhere. In other words, you ain't making this food. Why are you worried about it? Go play. Go do something. This is the point. If you rest, he works. If you work, he rests. If you rest, he works. If you work, he rests. As much as they want it, Jesus is here to fully satisfy you. You should be smiling about that. You should be like, glory to God. Come on, black people, we need to smile more. We need to get excited. I'm tired of going to the white churches, everybody's laughing and giggling and smiling. Go to the black church, everybody's looking. No. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why that is. And we're going to change that. And we're going to be more happy and hilarious. And stop get problems off our mind. I remember when I went to Pastor Boyan's church to preach, Pastor Samantha was there. This lady was crackling. There's people giggling all over the place. This one lady, and I wasn't moving in the spirit for people to laugh, but the glory of God was there. The presence of God was there. And they was having their own time with the Lord. But we left. This one lady was howling. I'm like, lady, it ain't that serious. But she was laughing up a storm. She didn't have a care in the world. And that's where we need to be. I don't have a care in the world. I don't care what my problem is. I don't care what I'm facing. I don't care what the need is. I ain't worried about it. You know why? Because God has already saw the need before you saw it. Hello, somebody. Isn't that what our father Abraham said? He said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. The word provide means provision, provide. He sees the need beforehand. Jesus himself said it. He says, your father knows what you have need of before you ask him, but you still got to ask him. But he already knows. There's nothing you're going to present to God that he didn't know first. Who's the one who initiated this provision, this increase? Was it the 5,000 men or was it Jesus? It was Jesus. The apostles call him that great shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd is always leading you into abundance. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that his paths, what? Drip with abundance. So if you're, now the picture of a sheep and a shepherd is that he's in front and you're following. So you're walking, you're following him down a path and it's dripping with abundance. Wherever you follow him, it's dripping with abundance. And the more you enter into rest, the more you're going to have abundance. Now the world will tell you otherwise. And there are examples of people who are killing themselves and making lots of money. They're prospering. They're killing it. But that's not what the Lord wants for you. Hello, somebody. Hello? And we have to be an example to the world or people who are saints who are not resting of the power of rest. This is what God told Israel. He said, stop tilling the land all the time. Give it a time of what? Rest. even the land should rest. Because when the land rests, it produces more. And it produces better quality. Go study it out here in America. Because we don't let our land rest, the quality of our food is less. I was at Rhema many, many years ago. And I went to one of the classes, just to, like, you know, just sit in the classes. You could do that when you go back for the seminar. Went to Bible seminar. And the teacher said, you know, spinach, I didn't fact check this, but I'm pretty sure it's true. He said, spinach that we ate in the early 1900s was extremely potent with whatever spinach has. He says, now to get that that nutriment from one scoop of spinach, you have to have several scoops now. Is that correct, Pastor Phelps? She's shaking her head, yeah. Because the quality, the nutriments has been diminished because they keep working the land and don't give it rest. Verse 12, so when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. That's very powerful in itself. 13, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men that had seen the sign that Jesus did said, this is truly the prophet who was come into the world. Because they understood that there was one coming like Moses, the great prophet, who would do great signs and wonders. Moses told them about that. They know that. They've seen that in the Torah. And they said, this is him. And also they understood as Hebrew people that prophets always bring abundance. That's why one time when I read that, the Lord gave me this point that I gave you guys some time ago, think like a prophet. Prophets always understand that the God of heaven, the God who has called me, is going to always take care of me. Because sometimes they were giving messages that were hard and people were going to shut them out. And the prophet is prophesying famine, how he going to get fed? And the Lord always did it. He always took care of his prophets. Even in judgment, the prophets were taken care of. Now we're under the new covenant, a better covenant. Come on, somebody. Amen. Established on better promises. And the Bible says that Jesus is the mediator of that covenant, which means that he's the one making it happen. Right. And the Bible says he's the great shepherd of the sheep. He says, I'm the good shepherd. You should always know you're going to be provided for. No matter what's going on, no matter where you're at, no matter what's happening, Jesus will provide for you. That's why Paul says, and my God, God the Father, will what? Supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by who? Christ Jesus, the good shepherd. The good shepherd is going to make it happen. Somebody say, there's a supply. All you got to do is tap into the supply. There's never a shortage. God is unlimited. How can God, who is spirit, be limited? He's unlimited. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen any nature shows and seen all the land, all the mountains, all the rivers, all the forests, all the junk, all the stuff that's untouched? Don't let this concrete jungle fool you. There ain't no space. There's a lot of space. One time I was traveling from Tulsa, Oklahoma to go see my dad. This is some years ago, by car, driving 2.5 hours, oh Lord, to Wichita, Kansas. And all I was seeing was land and land and land and green and mountain, just going for hours. And I said, this is just one little area of one little state. Can you imagine the rest of the world? All you have to do is just go on YouTube and look at nature. And you see, oh my God, this planet is incredible. And this is one planet in one universe. Not talking about all the other planets and all the other universes. God is literally unlimited. He said, the silver and gold are mine. I own the cattle on a thousand hill. Come on, somebody. So I said, my help comes from the Lord. Who made heaven and earth? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you feel the rest of the Lord?
Yes, yes, yes.
The purpose of the Sabbath for the children of Israel was not what the Seventh-day Adventists are projecting. They're making it a law, a chore. You better go to church on a Sabbath. That's not what the Sabbath is about. Does anybody know what the word Sabbath means?
Rest.
It's just rest on Saturday. That's all God was saying. That's it. You say come to church and hear some crazy sermon on being a Seventh-day Adventist and you got to follow the law and you got to eat this food and you got to go on this day. That's not what he was talking about. Even in the old covenant, the people made it. God said, just relax, chill out. That's all he was saying. Celebrate. Let me show you that you don't have to work for everything you get. You don't have to work 7 days out of the week. Work six and rest on this day. I rested on this day. You rest on this day. You know what he's also showing you? You're not bigger than me. How long did it take God to create the whole world and man? And what did he do on the seventh day? So why you think you got to work 7 days out of the week, 80 hours a week? Because you've been caught by the world. You forgot that you're sheep. And you're on, they call the rat race. Hallelujah. The world system. That's what the Bible says, renew your mind and don't be conformed to this world. Not only in lifestyle, not only in character, but even how you think about life and increase. You rest, he works. You work, he rests. Come on, somebody. I love this. John 10. That's the wonderful chapter of Jesus talking about being a good shepherd. Look at verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, again, most assuredly. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, says most assuredly, which means that it ain't going to be broken. It can't be changed. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, what happened was the previous verses, he was giving them like a story, an analogy, and they didn't really understand it. And then he says, okay, let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Kind of like what he did with the sower who sows the word. He says, I'm the sower. Okay. So he says, I am the door of the sheep. Who's the door?
Jesus.
Who's our door?
Jesus.
All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Uh-oh. All you religious leaders. All you people teaching things that are not correct or taking away knowledge that they should have from the people. Jesus talked about how they took away the key of knowledge. That's interesting. Why is that interesting? Because the Bible says knowledge increases strength. Knowledge what? Increases strength. So restful increase comes through knowledge. And the spiritual leaders weren't giving the people knowledge. What we endeavor to do on Sundays is to give you knowledge, to feed you the word of God. That's my job. That's my responsibility. And by the grace of God, we're going to do it better and better. And he says, but the sheep do not hear them. That's why when Jesus came, the multitudes followed him. Those religious leaders had little crowds. Nobody was trying to hear them. What are you talking about, bro? Ain't no signs of wonders. I'm still sick. I'm still dying. I'm still broke. Nah, see y'all later. You had a few people, but the majority of people is like, nah, we ain't trying to hear you. No reason why Joel Osteen, when he first came out, took off, wasn't because he was professional, wasn't because he was polished. It's because he represented the shepherding ministry of Jesus. Oh, Christianity light. No, he's not putting hard bondage on the people. We're under new covenant. So even without preaching a literal message of grace like Joseph Prince, he actually was releasing grace and hope to the people like Jesus would. So guess what happened? The multitudes began to follow him. And guess what? He's 20 years in now, and it's still the same. You can't say it's a fluke. We can learn a lot from Pastor Joel. He represents the shepherding ministry of Jesus. He's not trying to be an apostle. He's not trying to be a prophet. He's not trying to be an evangelist. He's doing the work of an evangelist because actually they've done a study and they found out that if you actually study his ministry and all the crusades he's done, people don't want to admit it, but he's won more people than Billy Graham. The last count, they said, estimated was 2 million people have gotten saved through his ministry. My God, what a reward he getting in heaven. All that crying, Joel, paying off. Hallelujah. Praise God. They don't want to give the charismatics that the Baptists want to hold on to their Billy Graham, the American evangelist. Yeah, but Joel, one more. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for him. Jesus said, I am, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved. And here's the, look at this, and will go in and out and find pasture. So what should we be doing? Finding pasture. We should be finding, we will find pasture when we go do it Jesus' way and go through him. You're going to find increase. You're going to find the money that you want. You're going to find the blessings that you want. You're going to find the favor, the career, the job, the friendships, whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you want, Jesus wants to give it to you. Jesus is giving it to you. All you have to do is go through him. So, for example, I'm in my lane as a pastor. Everybody has a lane. Everybody's not called to be a pastor. They're not called to be an apostle or prophet or a teacher or an evangelist, but some are. And those who are should be in their lane. Even in ministry gifts, some people are not in their lane. They're in different offices, and they're causing chaos and problems. Sometimes they die prematurely because they're intruding in an office they're not called to. Sometimes God has mercy, but they're still intruded, you know? So I'm in my lane, and in my lane, there's a way that God wants me to go. Now, I will tell you, honestly, in my ministry that I've had all these years, I have not always, I've always been in my lane, but I've not always been focused in my lane. Now, my saving grace is I stayed in my lane. When I was trying to go out my lane and try to be a businessman, Jesus quickly put me back in my lane. And I was doing good outside of my lane. You can do good. You can make money. You can be amazing. But you will be out of the will of God, and you'll be on the devil's territory. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I started feeling sick on the inside. Like, this ain't it. Like a nauseating feeling. I wasn't really physically sick, but my spirit was grieved. The Holy Spirit was grieved inside of me. And I could feel it. And then I heard the Lord speak to me. The people know you as a businessman or the cleaning man and not as the man of God. This is not why I put you in this community. This is not why I put you in this city. This is why I called you to go make money creating neat and tidy business. That's the name of my cleaning business. Now, is there anything wrong with having an entrepreneurial spirit and having a cleaning business? Absolutely not. But if God called you to the ministry, you would be in this. Now, some people say, well, there's a lot of other pastors who are doing good, who have businesses. Okay, what does it do with me? What does it do with you? That's what happened with Peter and John. John, this is going to happen. Peter, this is going to happen to you. Oh, well, what about him? What does that have to do with you? I told you what you need to do. Feed my sheep. Don't worry about what I'm telling John to do. Mind your business as a sheep. So I've been, sometimes distracted. In terms of, that's why we talk about, you know, Joshua leadership. He said, okay, you got this position now. You're the leader of the children of Israel, but I need something from you. I need to be strong and courageous. But also he told something else as a leader. He said, I need you to be focused. How you know he said that? He said, don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't be looking over here. Don't be looking over there. Look at what I'm telling you to do. So now, outside of the pastoring, whatever you're called to do, you need to be in that lane because that's where the abundance is. That's where the pasture is. So if God is leading you over here, you shouldn't be over here as a sheep. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You have to follow the shepherd. A lot of people are experiencing Psalm 23 because they're not following the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. We're going to look at a passage a little bit later. I think, I don't know. My time is up. If I get to it, where Jesus, the Bible says, they willingly received him into the boat. That's in the same John 6. Willingly received him. Are you willingly receiving his shepherd ministry? Are you willingly receiving the direction of your Savior who wants you to have abundance, who wants you to be blessed, who wants you to have pasture going in and out? Now, when it says going in and out, that's talking about everyday living, going in and out. The Bible says you're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out, right? So everyday living, the Lord wants you to be blessed. Everyday living, he wants you to have abundance. But you have to see yourself as sheep and you have to say, okay, Jesus, I don't really know what I'm doing. I tried this. I tried that. What do you want me to do? Come on, somebody. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more what? Somebody say abundance. Abundance. It's mine. Who's excited about abundance? Yeah. Hallelujah. We're talking about restful increase. More is coming to you if you rest.
Thank you,
Father.
I went to preach with Pastor Boyne. I usually don't tell people my business like this, but I felt like the Lord wants me to share this with you. I went to go preach for Pastor Boyan, and you remember that week? Mm-hmm. And that was a last minute thing. And the reason why I told you why I went, right? Because mm-hmm. You just said, I have assignment here. I'm not preaching nobody else's church. Because I'm not preaching for money, you know? I think one time he asked me, I said, no, I got to do this, blah, 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 blah. But I was in a deep sleep. I mean, deep sleep. And I just came out of it. Like, I was super refreshed. Like, it was like, whoa. Like, I just lifted weights all day, and I slept and woke up. And as soon as I woke up, my hand without even thinking, I was on the couch, grabbed the phone on the floor, and I just picked it up. I used to take like a minute before I grabbed the phone, but I just instantly grabbed the phone, and I saw that Pastor Boyan had called me and sent me a text 1 minute ago. And I said, yo, what's up? I said, this is strange how that just happened. He says, yo, Maurice, I'm in the airport. I'm in Miami. I'm going to go see my dad, blah, 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 blah. They are canceling the flights. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it. Can you preach for me? And I said, all right, let me call Pastor Patrick. And the only reason why I said I'm doing it is because of the way that I woke up and the way I grabbed the phone. I felt it was really God. So he was like, all right. So he called me back, said, yeah, ain't going to happen. I ain't making it. You good? Yes. Pastor Patrick was good? Okay. I went to preach, had a great time. Actually, they want me back. So I'll be going back in June. The church was like, yeah, we like that guy. It's all right. Boyan was like, wow. His wife sent him a text while I was preaching. Maurice is amazing. Thank you, Emily. He said, now, everybody said he was good too, but when my wife says it, I know, okay. So they invited me back. But I stayed in my lane. I had to tell the Lord, I'm open to preach. Because before I said, I don't want to preach nowhere. I don't want to be bothered. But I said, Lord, I'm open. Whatever you want to do, let's do it. They, you know, church usually give you honorarium, whatever. Now, I expected he's going to give me a good honorarium, but I preached two services and I got $2,000. Now that's restful increase for preaching a 40-minute sermon and the same one. Not gonna have two sermons. 2,000. Now, don't get me wrong. That's good, but really, that's there's people getting 10,000 for preaching a sermon. Do you think you go to Joseph Prince Church? Are you getting 1,000? No, you're getting. Well, there's high numbers out there. I don't know the exact number, but I've heard 40,000. That's why he don't have that many guest speakers. But 40,000, I heard. But that shouldn't be a problem for a church that can buy a building for $300 million cash. This is Singapore, not Jamaica, Queens. That's awesome, all right? And there's other numbers. People like the TD Jakes and stuff, they get large numbers. TD Jakes at one time was getting $75,000 for a one-time preach. $100,000. I don't know what it is today, but that was, you know, there's the gospel, there's the grapevine in the kingdom. So we know what people are getting. There's a lot of money in whatever lane you're in. The girl who founded Canvas with her husband. What's the girl's name? Melanie? Anybody know Canvas? Anybody know Canvas? The app Canvas? It's a young girl, she's 36 or 37. Her name is Melanie. Her and her husband founded Canvas. I just read about it. They're worth together, I think it's $18 billion. She's worth $4 billion. She owns 18% of the company because they have some other investors. She's 36. In Australia, her and her husband are one of the richest young people in Australia, and they own Canvas. They founded Canvas, that little app thing. Because she saw that Adobe and stuff was hard for some young people. Canva, thank you. She said Canva, I said Canvas, Canva. So why y'all let me? Thank you, my dear. Canva. Anybody, you know what I was talking about? Did anybody know what I was talking about? Besides my sister? Okay, people knew what I was talking about. And you sitting there, let me say Canvas. Oh, just quiet. Anyway, did you know what I was talking about, Pastor Michelle? You didn't realize? Okay. So Canva. Anybody know Canva now? Yes, all right, Canvas. Yeah. I'm really saved. Oh, there's an app for Canvas called Canvas for school. Okay, well, I was about Canva. Anyway, she's a tech person. She's in her lane. There's wealth in your lane. Whatever lane God called you to, stay in that lane. And guess what? If you're in a lane and you want more, what did God say? Ask for more. He told David, you're the king. You got all this land, all this money. You even said in your psalm, crown of gold on your head. Everywhere you go is goodness. There's abundance. You have mad money, mad jewels, mad kingdom, soldiers, mighty men, all this stuff. And you want this one woman. And one of the things he said when he rebuked him through the prophet is that had you wanted more, I would have given it to you. That's my indictment against you. You didn't have to have Bathsheba. Leave her alone. She is a woman. They don't have that much. Her husband is your soldier. Why are you bothering his wife? You got into lust and greed. And now you embarrass me in front of the whole world. They're looking at Israel's king. Israel's God put this king in. Who's an adulterer, sleeping with his man's wife? Disgusting, disgraceful. I should kill you, but I'm not. But be glad you've been singing a lot to me. Be glad you're a worshiper, because I should kill you. I should have this prophet take a sword and lunge it right through you. You read the Bible, prophets killed, sliced and diced. I should kill you. But I'm not going to. Because what you did was despicable. And there's no reason for it because I have abundance. There's no reason for you to be worried and stressed out. There's no reason for you to be covetous, wanting something that belongs to somebody else because God has a lot and he can give you something. Don't want somebody else's husband. Don't want somebody else's wife. Don't want them. Oh, how did Richard get Pastor Josh? I wanted him. Not really, it's a real true story because nobody really wanted him. but just in case. There's more Pastor Joshes out there. There's more light-skinned brothers out there, brown-skinned brothers out there. And they're younger. Hello, somebody. Let God give you what you want. Stop wanting what somebody else, stop wanting what belongs to somebody else. Amen. Yeah. That goes for anything. Oh, here's a nice car. Okay, ask God for a car. You can be inspired by that. And if you want the same car, that's fine. But don't want his car. Praise God. Oh, this is a nice apartment. A nice house. I've heard in an Uber, Uber driver tell me how somebody killed their sister over a house. This was in the Caribbean. I was like, what? People do that? I don't understand that level of jealousy. I don't personally understand it. But she was jealous of her sister and killed her over the house. Covetousness will take you far. That person who killed her wasn't resting. She was too busy being jealous. All those religious leaders that envied Jesus, they weren't resting. So therefore, they didn't have increase. They were in the presence of God. Sit in his presence. Be like Mary. Thus, she sat at his feet and heard his word. She did what? Heard his word. Oh, but Pastor Reese, I'm not a pastor. That's okay. All of God's people need to sit down and hear his word. In the Old Testament, the Bible told the parents how to raise the kids. It says, when your kids get up, when they sit down, no matter what's going on, talk about me, talk about my word, talk about my covenant, talk about what I did. Kids should know the word. If your kids know schoolwork and don't know scripture, there's a problem. The kid needs to sit down. You need to sit down and rest and let's hear the word. I always have a story about my godson. I was with Ethan recently and he was at my house. We were just watching him. He was in the room watching his show. I was watching my show. I said, bro, it's Monday. I'm chilling. I'm watching what I want to watch. He's like, all right, bye. And he went to the back room. I have a room where he could watch what he wanted to watch. Okay, good. So he's like, so then later on, I came to the room. He's like, yo, are we going out or not? I was like, is this not Samantha or what in my head? I was like, my Lord. I just fed him. He's like, no, I want to go out. I said, all right, let's go to the mall. So we went to the mall. And as we went to the mall, he wanted to go to buy something. He had a credit card from his uncle, Brian, on something from Best Buy, some lights for my room. All right, fine. LED lights. So we're coming from the Macy's. I said, let's go to the Macy's first and then end at Best Buy. Then we'll take the Uber home. He said, okay. So as we're walking to the parking lot, and I just think of spiritual things to talk to him about. You talk to him about a lot of things, but I'm the pastor, I'm the godfather, so let me just talk to him about spiritual things. So I said, hey, I haven't heard you speak in tongues yet. I said, you know, you should have, let me hear you speak in tongues. He was like, laughing. I said, yo. So I said, okay, how am I gonna get this guy to speak in tongues? I'm speaking in tongues, rah, bah, 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 walking through the parking lot. I said, come on, man, join me in speaking tongues. He's like, oh my goodness, laughing out loud. I was like, is this when I speak in tongues? I start laughing. He said, they said talking about Christopher. Okay, why are you talking about Christopher? He said, have you heard Christopher speak in tongues? I said, yes. And so he was just like, I said, oh, what, you're ashamed to speak in tongues? No, I'm not ashamed, you know, male ego. He said, no, I'm not ashamed. I said, then come on, speak in tongues. Man, he went in. I said, oh my goodness. I said, that's awesome. And then he starts laughing. You know, tongues sounds funny to kids, so they start laughing. But the Spirit of God flowed out of him. That's what you should be doing with your kids. Let's speak in tongues, guys. Let's quote the word. Let's play word games. Okay, you quote a scripture, you quote a scripture. Whoever quotes the most scriptures, I'm giving you $10. Make it fun. You know what I'm saying? That's called being at rest, sitting at his feet, hearing his what? Word. And it brings what? Restful increase. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I got so much to share with you. I guess we're going to continue this next week. Yeah, I have a lot. Dag. That's okay. Thank the Lord for what we did here. Amen.